Well, let's go to God's word today. Today we're going to talk about traps. Traps. You know, in life, it's wise to understand the consequences of an action before you make a decision or a commitment, right? God's word gives us the instructions to know what's the other side of these actions or these decisions or these behaviors. And so we've been on this journey of a series called Godly Wisdom. And godly wisdom really simply is biblical knowledge applied. Because it's one thing to gain biblical knowledge, it's another thing to apply it to your life. And so today we're going to talk about traps. And to do that, we're going to go right to Proverbs chapter 5. And we're going to look at this whole chapter today. So I want to encourage you to go there and let's let God's word speak to us. Proverbs chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Solomon, known as one of the wisest kings who ever lived, he wrote most of the book of Proverbs. He wrote this. He writes this. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Then you will show discernment and your lips will express what you've learned. For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave, for she cares nothing about the path to life. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't realize it. So now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor and will lose to merciless people all you have achieved. Strangers will consume your wealth and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. You will say, "How I hated discipline. If only I had not ignored all the warnings. Oh, why didn't I listen to my teachers? Why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I have come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace." You know, I always like to pick uplifting scriptures to share with you, be encouraged by. I'm going to stop there for a moment. Solomon is addressing the immoral woman. And there's a surface level interpretation of this. Really, what's wise is don't solicit a prostitute. And I don't think we have to spend too much time trying to convince you or we can be in agreement. It is wise to not solicit a prostitute. But I think there's something deeper in this passage that I want to dig into today. Because Solomon is a brilliant writer. He uses a lot of poetic language. He uses word pictures, illustrations to help us gain some of the deeper, timeless truths. And so in this passage, really throughout all the book of Proverbs and most of what he wrote, he uses the word picture of a woman to illustrate wisdom, right? He uses a word picture of a woman to illustrate wisdom. We can just go back one chapter to chapter 4, verse 6, just to see one example of this. He says in verse 6, "Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you." And there's other examples of this all throughout the book of Proverbs. But if wisdom represents a woman, or if woman represents wisdom, what would an immoral woman represent? Foolishness, right? Immoral. The word immoral means no morals. It means living without restraint, right? Corrupt. So I don't want us to get hung up on the word picture that Solomon is using here, because really what he's saying is, if he's saying the lips of an immoral woman are sweet like honey, let's look at what he really may mean is the lips of foolishness are sweet like honey. They're smooth like butter. Foolishness. What is foolishness? He said it's sweet, it's like butter, but he said in the end, it's like a double-edged sword, it's dangerous. The path leads to death and destruction. He's giving us this warning. What is Solomon warning about? He's warning us to avoid traps, the trap of foolishness, the trap of sin. And what's a trap? Well, trap, by definition, a trap is an intentional pitfall hidden to capture something or someone, right? It's set, but it's hidden so that it can catch something or someone. Traps then are intentionally hidden by false, hopeful promises of pleasure and peace based on foolish behavior. So it's hidden, we don't see it, but it's hidden by these hopeful promises, but they're false. Hopeful promises of pleasure, peace, happiness, all as a result of this foolish behavior. So the traps, and he's given us this warning. Now, let's talk about what are some examples of this when the stakes are low. You remember the potato chip ad, I think it's Lay's potato chips. The byline was, you can't eat just one. That's not true. No, it actually is true. You can't eat just one. Right, it's a trap, tries to get you to eat more. Because if I was at a picnic and there was a bowl of lettuce and a bowl of chips, I would not be tempted by the lettuce. I would be tempted by the chips. Try to get you each one. How about this, the Snickers bars. Snickers truly satisfy. No, they don't. They don't truly satisfy. You wanna eat another one and another one, right? It's a trap. Now, those are low stakes. The stakes are low on those. But what Solomon is addressing is things that are much higher stakes. He's actually teaching in this Proverbs chapter 5, he's teaching how to take responsibility for your own actions. So that's what he's giving us today. So I wanted to go into this and really look at this question or the statement, how to avoid the traps of sin. How do we do that? Number one, I want to encourage you to write this down. Number one, start here. See where the traps will lead. What's on the other side of a trap? Now, Solomon is writing this. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I almost get this impression that Solomon is pleading with these words. And if you look at the life of Solomon, unfortunately, he did not follow his own guidance. If you look at the end of his life, it's a very sad ending. He had like over 700 wives, hundreds of concubines, really were like sex slaves, and just for his own pleasure. And he kind of ignored God's word. And so in some ways, I hear this and I read what he wrote, and it's like he's pleading, learn from my mistakes. I beg of you, learn from the mistakes that I made. Don't give your legacy away. Don't give your resources away. Don't give your honor away to those who could not care less about your life. So he's giving us this warning about the danger of traps, right? The path is crooked. It's not, you don't know where it's gonna end up. He gives all of these indications of where it goes. So let's look at where do traps end up? Really, it takes you from, we could say from wealth to poverty. From gain to loss, from sight, you see clearly, then you start being blind. If you're falling into these traps, I mean, really, it comes down to from life to death. That's where they end up. Let's look at a couple of examples of what are some examples of traps? Well, here's an example. Let's say that a person is dealing with some kind of loneliness and this just strong desire for connection, and the desire for connection is not a bad desire. But to fulfill that desire, a trap would hide this how to find connection. It would be hidden by having sex with someone outside of marriage or pornography. And if you go down that road, where does that end up, right? It's a false promise of peace or pleasure or happiness or connection, but it ends up, it's the result of foolish behavior. It ends up in regret and sin. How about coping with pressure and stress? I mean, a lot of us are under pressure and stress. So that's kind of a normal part of life. How do you cope with that? Well, a trap can remain hidden, this false promise. I just maybe abuse some kind of drugs or abuse alcohol to cope, take the edge off and cope with the pressures of life. That's a trap. It's because it's a false promise of peace that ends up in some kind of pain or regret. Another trap could be this desire for more. right? More money or more achievement, more accomplishment. Maybe it's an approval addiction, or maybe it's trying to, you know, find some kind of fulfillment in accomplishing things in life. And if you try to fulfill that by more money or gaining more, it so easily can be this trap. It's hidden, this false promise of peace and happiness. And it could turn into workaholism or this keeping or putting money in this place of being a god. What's the result of that? Pain, regret. I mean, this is the one that I need to guard, especially as I'm getting older. I need to guard this. Look how the Apostle Paul, he takes this idea specifically around money. This is what he writes in 1 Timothy 6:9. He says, people who long, everybody say long, that's the key word, long to be rich, fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And then he says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not evil. Remember, money is a helpful tool, but a terrible master. He addresses the love of money. Right, that desire where it's you long for it. It's the root, it's the foundation of all kinds of evil. And he says, then some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. See the end from the beginning. Right, scripture is giving us helpful warning. Where do these traps end up? When you try to fulfill some kind of void in your life with anything other than a personal relationship with Jesus, it's gonna end up in this feeling of emptiness. Number two, how do we avoid the traps of sin? Number two is flee the traps that tempt you the most, right? Flee it. Avoid it. Don't even go there. So I think it begs us to ask the question, okay, what traps do tempt us the most? Because yours might be different from mine. But I would say every day we're going to have to fight this temptation. I was reading or heard this story, John Bevere, he's an author and pastor, and he shared about this study that scientists have done. And here was the study they were doing. The scientists put a python snake and a finch, a little bird, a finch, in a cage to see what would happen. And it's like, well, we can kind of guess what's going to happen there, right? Why do scientists need to do that? But anyway, he's bringing attention to this study that scientists did. And so when they put both of those animals in, first the finch is like going crazy, just flying around, bouncing into the side of the cage, flying around, gone ballistic. While the snake, this python, is just sitting there completely still, completely calm. Well, eventually this finch calms down and starts to get curious about the snake. And it kind of lands right in front of this snake. And the snake continues to be still, slowly opens its mouth. And the finch hops in right inside the mouth of this snake. The snake closes its mouth and eats the bird. That's the result of that study. John Bevere made this point that evil is seductive. It's not always obvious. Traps that are hidden are not always obvious to us. And sometimes our curiosity gets the best of us. And so when we get curious, we start to check that out. It can very easily lead us to somewhere where we don't want to go. So how do you flee those traps? Well, the first step, if you want to break any kind of addiction, the first step is to get rid of the source, right? If you want to break an addiction to pornography, get rid of the source. Delete the apps. I mean, get rid of the internet if you need to. Get rid of that source. You want to break some kind of addiction, the first step is to get rid of the source of where that addiction may be coming from. This, whatever we're tempted to, flee the place where you're tempted the most. But don't just stop there. The second or the next step then is to focus on the word of God. Get God's word in your mouth. Speak it. focus on it, because that's how you can build your life on God's word. You know, when God has given you, he's created you on purpose for a purpose. You know why I say that? Not because it's a cheesy church cliche, because it's true. And I have this strong desire to help as many people as possible to discover and do what God created them to do. I want you to discover and do what God has created you to do, the purpose that he has on his life. And when you get caught up in a trap, you get stuck there, it becomes a big distraction from doing what God has created you to do. So I'm so grateful for Proverbs chapter 5, because I believe it gives us a very strong but very helpful warning how to not get trapped. If it's this foolish behavior is smooth like butter, sweet like honey, that means we'll probably be some, you know, attracted to it in some way. So he's cautioning us. Now, let's continue. Let's go back to Proverbs 5. I want to keep reading here. Now, again, I want to remind you, Solomon is using some poetic language here, and that we're going to get a little bit PG-13. Yeah, this is scripture. Just letting you know. Verse 15 says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. You know, sometimes people say, do we need to interpret the Bible literally? Well, I think in some cases, yeah, you can interpret it literally. Verse 19 is a good one. Moving on, verse 20, why be captivated, my son, by an immoral woman or fondle the breasts of a promiscuous woman? Again, there's a kind of a surface level understanding of this, but if we think about godly wisdom versus foolishness, Solomon is helping us understand that just like the love between a husband and wife should be captivating, intoxicating even. It helps us understand this because we're physical, sexual beings. Helps us understand this a little bit. But traps based on foolish behavior can also be intoxicating or captivating. So you say, guard against, don't be intoxicated or captivated by foolish behavior. Be captivated, intoxicated by godly wisdom. Then he uses this phrase, he says, don't just let your springs go out anywhere. Well, what do springs represent? Springs represent children. Children, whether you have children or not, children represents legacy. It represents how you will be remembered. So I think it's important. What's going to outlast you? What will outlast your life? That's your legacy. What do you want to be remembered by? How do you want to be remembered? Verse 21, for the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. And he will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. And again, aren't you glad you came to church to be encouraged today? But I think we should be so grateful that there's truth like this in God's word, because it's helping us how to avoid the traps of sin. First, we got to see what's on the other side of a trap before we step into it. And then we have to flee the traps that tempt us the most, right? And that brings us to number three, and this is where I want to land today. Decide in advance what will guide your life. Determine in advance what is going to guide your life. This past, just recently, I was playing pickleball. And by the way, I've been playing a little bit more and I'm starting to see why there's a craze about it. I'm starting to love it. And if you don't know what pickleball is, you play it on a tennis court, it's with a tennis net. But it's kind of like playing ping pong, right? Except you're using a wiffle ball. Usually play doubles. And so I was playing recently, and playing with, there's probably 75 people in this kind of scramble we were playing. So you play with a partner, and then when the game's over, you play to 11, then you split and you play with someone else. So it's very fun, and I mean, it's just for fun. And so I was playing with this older guy a few times, and he was probably in his mid-60s, and he was better than I was, so I liked being on his team. And so we were playing, and then about 2.5 hours into, he's like, man, I'm going to go. And I'm like, what? We've only been playing 2.5 hours. He's like, I think I'm going to go. And I said, okay. But so we were chatting and talking about all kinds of stuff. And then he says to me, so what do you do? Let me just say, nothing will shut down a conversation like telling somebody you're a pastor. And so I'm like, well, I'm a pastor. And his face changed immediately. And he said, you don't want to know what I think about that. Yeah, and I was curious like you. I was like, well, actually, I do kind of want to know what you think about that. And he got really serious and he said, all of that, he said, it's BS. It's all made up. And then he said, why would an all-powerful God, he's all-powerful, right? He can do anything, right? Why would an all-powerful God allow priests to sexually abuse boys and girls? And I was like, the only thing that came out of my mouth was like, man, all I can tell you is there's a lot of evil in the world. He's like, no, it's a fairy tale. He's like, I'm not trying to take away from what you've given your life to, but that's a fairy tale. I gotta go. So I'd love to follow up a conversation with them. But I was thinking about that. My assessment is that I don't think the version of Christianity that he has encountered or he was exposed to is the version that Jesus Christ came to bring. And maybe you have similar questions. Maybe you know someone who has similar questions. And here's what I would say to you. Sometimes, so often, people blame God for the actions of people. And my heart breaks when someone who's in a religious position of authority and power and they break that trust by abusing people, my heart breaks for them. And I want to give my life to helping bridge the gap between disillusionment in Christianity and maybe an inaccurate version of Christianity and bridging that gap to the true teachings of Scripture, the true teachings of Christianity and of what the Bible says and what Jesus gave us. So again, Scripture teaches us to take responsibility for our own actions, and there are consequences to people's actions. And sometimes those consequences hurt ourselves, sometimes those consequences hurt other people. But if God would intervene and prevent consequences of people's actions, he would actually be removing the freedom of choice that he's given us. And so I would land today, decide in advance what will guide your life. Every single person, we have the opportunity, the choice, the responsibility, the opportunity to decide what are we going to live for? How are we going to be remembered? What's going to guide our life? Foolishness? Living with unrestraint? Or choosing God's word that gives us godly wisdom? And here's the question I want to leave with you. What trap are you most prone to step toward? What trap are you most prone to step toward? How can you flee it? And can we ask God for help? Yes. Because the good news is he's given us his word and his spirit. This is not about, I need enough willpower to not get into a trap, not fall into a trap. If I just see things clearly. No, God has given us his word and his Holy Spirit to help us. That's the good news. God is not looking for you and for me for us to be perfect. He is looking for us to be surrendered to him and his will and his word, his Holy Spirit. And when we do that, he gives us the ability to see what's on the other side, to not give in to temptation, to be strong. And maybe you've got caught up in some kind of trap. I'm here to tell you that there's restoration, there's forgiveness, there is redemption. God can use those situations for good. And so I'm gonna go to that question one more time. What trap are you most prone to step toward? And how can you flee it? Are you thankful for God's word today? Man, I pray that it challenges us, encourages us. Jesus had this message, and I hope Worship Center follows this message, that he accepted people right where they were. But he also challenged them to change. I want us to be a church where we accept people right where they are. But we will challenge each other to change and to grow. And through God's word and the Spirit of God, can help us be transformed to be more like Jesus. All right, would you bow your heads? Lord, thank you for your word. I pray in this moment right now that our ears and our hearts be tuned in. What are you speaking to us? God, would you make it clear? And I pray that we would have the courage to follow your leading. With your heads bowed, I want to give you an opportunity, if you're here today, you're watching online, you're listening to this, to give you an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never made that decision, or maybe it was a decision you made as a young person, but you walked away from it, and maybe you're in a state of in your life where it feels like a mess, and you're like, I just need to clean up my life before I make a decision. And I would just say to you, no, you don't need to clean up your life before you come to God. We come to God. And he cleans us, and he forgives, and he washes our sin white as snow because of his unconditional love, his limitless love that reaches the deepest valley. But it does require this step of surrender. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I repent of my sins. And I look to you, I turn to you. If you're ready to make that decision today, I want to lead you in a simple prayer. Prayer of surrender. And I'm just going to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. And I'm going to invite everyone to pray it just so no one's praying alone. Would you just simply say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross, was buried in the ground, and rose from the dead for me. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I repent of my sins and choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Today is the day of new beginnings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can all look up. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you know you needed to commit your life to Jesus today, the ushers have a gift for you. It's a box that has a Bible and some other material in there. And it's really our way just to help you take your next step. There's a card in there. If you would, fill it out. Just hold your hand up until an usher sees you. And would you fill that card out? Bring it to Connections. There's a team of people in there. Yeah, we've had a couple people raise hands here. I'm just so proud of you. As Jesus said, when you place your faith in him, you become a new creation, spiritually reborn. Your old life is gone. New life has begun, Scripture teaches us. And so today, I'm just gonna encourage you, don't walk this out alone. Take that Bible. There's a card in there. Take it to Connections. We have a team of people in there that would love to talk with you and pray with you if you'd like. But you've joined this group, just like we watched all these people being water baptized today, making decisions to follow Jesus, or they made that decision. You're part of this community, and we're just so grateful for you. So if you would, after we dismiss, I want to encourage you to go to Connections. We'd love to walk with you. All right, would you all stand, please? If you need prayer for any reason, I want you to please feel free to come forward. We'll have a prayer team down here. We'd love to pray with you. If you are new to Worship Center, stop by Connections as well. But I'd just love to remind you that you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. And I hope and pray for you that you do what God has created you to do. And so that's why I love to encourage you. Have a fantastic week. We love you. Have a great week. We'll see you here next weekend. And let's stay connected.